Last week, I talked to you about being truly free. And as you get to know me, and if you're here on a regular basis, you'll see that my sermons kind of build upon each other. And we looked at true freedom, and I told you that whatever you give yourself to, you'll be yoked to, or you'll be a slave to. And we talked about the yoke, and most of you know that that's just a device that animals used, and they were controlled by someone ruling over them. But all of us are controlled by something today. In Matthew, we find that Jesus beckons us to come to him and to take his yoke upon us, because we'll receive rest for our souls. And that's what I want for all of you, because more often than not, people do not have rest for their souls. We do not have the peace of Jesus Christ in our life like we should. Today I'm going to begin a sermon series entitled Three Things That Will Last Forever. The sermon series comes from what we call the love chapter in the Bible. It's the last verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And that's what I want to see developed in our lives: faith, hope, and love. In the spring of 1984, I was preparing to graduate from college. I was excited. But about 7 to 10 days before my commencement, my father became ill. 5 years earlier, he had had a severe stroke when I was a senior in high school, and he was paralyzed. He couldn't talk, and he couldn't walk. And my mom, just a wonderful person, and through the weeks, months, and years, you'll hear about my mom. Just a wonderful, wonderful lady. She took care of my dad. And I can remember being at the hospital with my mother, and I went to the chapel to pray for my dad. And I felt this unspeakable peace just come upon me. And I stopped praying, and I got up, and I went and told my mom. I told her what happened with the peace, and I said, you know, everything's just going to be okay. And I just felt that. And a couple days later, my dad passed away. And I blamed God for my dad passing away. I thought God was going to heal my dad because I felt that peace in my life. But you know what? Everything was okay. Everything really was okay. And my life has been okay. And I go back to that scripture, Romans 8:28, that God works everything together for good in our lives. I want to read this morning's passage of scripture. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." Pray with me. God, I ask you now to just work in our hearts and our minds. In Christ I pray. Amen. How many times have you prayed and God hasn't answered you? You haven't heard anything from God, or perhaps God is silent in your life today. How many times have you prayed a prayer? Now think back, and you're glad that God hasn't answered you like you prayed. Man, I can relate to that. I remember when I was in my 20s, I had a super crush. I thought I was madly in love with this man, but I had a super crush, and every week after church, I would go home and pray, please, God, let me marry him. He had a nice family, everything I could have wanted, and he was so nice looking, and our two families just would have meshed. Well, God never answered that prayer as I prayed it, but thankfully he answered it according to his will for my life. Because if I would have married that man, he was not the man that I saw in church, to make a long story short, okay? Since we're all from Mansfield and we kind of know everybody, I don't want to talk anymore, okay? I'm afraid maybe I'd see him come walking in the door, and then I'd really have to change my story. But the point is, faith, prayer, and God's will go together in our life. Those three things go together in our life. Did you recognize, or do you remember when you were saying the Lord's Prayer this morning? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes we just skip over that very, very quickly, but we're praying for God's will to be done in our life. Why is faith one of the three things that the Apostle Paul wrote about? Well, first, it is through faith that we go to God, that we begin to build that wonderful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, and we gain access to God. We're forgiven of our sins. Hebrews 11:6 says this, that it's impossible to please God without faith. And I don't want you to think you're on a point system, but it does God's heart good when we trust. Just like the song we sang, when we trust and obey, God commends us. God acknowledges that. You can go back to Hebrews 11 and you can read about the chapter of faith, and he commended all those people who trusted, who had faith in him. It takes faith to believe that you're going to have eternal life. How many of you are kind of voting for that in your life? I know I am. I'm counting on eternal life in my life. But that takes faith, because I've never seen eternal life. I don't know what eternal life is like. The Bible is very sketchy on that. But deep inside of me, that faith speaks to me. It takes faith when you read about the promises in the Bible, the promise that I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. The promise that says nothing will ever separate you from my love. That takes faith. I want to take a closer look at the passage that I read this morning. I didn't read what happened previously. There's always a previously in our life. Did you notice in your kids' life, when you're raising them, or maybe you're raising kids now, that you'll come home and something's broke or something happened, and they just stare at you and you just stare at them? There's that previously that you want to look at with them, and that's what we want to look at. The previous day when Jesus was coming into town, and this was Passover, or what we know as Palm Sunday. He was coming into town, and he was hungry, and he saw this fig tree that was just blooming, just blossoming. And he went over to pick a fig off of the tree. And there were no figs on it. And the passage previously said it wasn't the season for figs. But Jesus cursed the tree and then went on. Well, the next day when they came back, Peter noticed that the tree had withered. And this passage has always bothered me, because I thought, Lord, were you having a bad day? Why take it out on the tree? And those of you that kind of want this power in your life, that you think that, you know, the faith, if your neighbor's bothering you, you can go out and you can curse at them and they'll wither away. That's probably not going to happen. That's not the key point that I want you to jot down. But anyways, the tree withered. And boom, that's when Jesus Christ starts talking about faith. He says, have faith in God. What he's really saying here is, and the fig tree is an example for you and I, is that the tree was blooming. The tree looked beautiful, but it had no fruit. And he's going to relate that to our lives. You know, sometimes we just really look like a Christian. Don't I just look like a pastor? I put the stole on for you to, you know, kind of identify. I dressed up. But does that mean I'm a Christian? Does that mean I'm bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. And he says this to Israel, and he's saying it to us. Look, you need to have faith in me. On the outside, you look like good Jewish people. On the outside, you look like good Christian people. But what's going on the inside? You need to develop your faith, you need to hone in, and you need to start bearing fruit, or you're going to wither like that tree. And that's the truth. Man, that's the truth in our lives. I can think back in my own life. You guys know who John Wesley is, don't you? Okay, good. Good, good. Don't embarrass me. But anyways, John Wesley, and we all know him as the great revivalist. Of course, he's head of our denomination. He struggled with his faith in his life, and he struggled greatly. When he was traveling from England to the United States on a ship, there was this terrible storm, and he was fearful for his life. But he noticed that there were some Moravians. They didn't have fear like he had. Matter of fact, they were singing and they were worshiping God. Well, when he got back to England, there was one Moravian by the name of Peter Boyler, and he started talking to him, and he started asking him questions. And Charles and John started sitting under Peter Boyler's ministry. And when they looked at Peter Boyler's spiritual life, they felt that their spiritual life was greatly lacking. And Wesley had been a minister for about 16 years at this point. It wasn't like he was just starting. John Wesley realized he didn't have what Peter Boyler had in his life. And he told Boyler this. He says, Boyler, I'm going to quit the ministry because I just don't have faith in my life. And Boyler said, John, don't quit. You're a wonderful big biblical scholar. You need to keep preaching, and you need to keep studying until that faith is developed deep within your life. And he told John and Charles this, that prayer and faith go hand in hand, and they need to stop focusing on all these great things that they were going to do for Jesus Christ and focus on what Jesus Christ could do for them. You know, and that hits home with me because as a pastor, I'm so very busy that often our spiritual life suffers and we go into a spiritual drought and a spiritual famine. And frankly, I'm no good to you. And Wesley said this, there's three things that I want from my faith. The first thing is that I want to be able to have peace when I'm facing death. And I'm sure he wrote that in his journal because of that trip that he made here to the United States. And the next thing he said is, I want joy. I want joy. I want joy when circumstances are so bad in my life. I want joy in the Lord. You know that verse just as well as I do. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what Wesley's talking about. And the last thing Wesley said is, I want victory over sin. He struggled with sin. And maybe you don't have peace today. You don't have joy and you're struggling with sin. There's always going to be a sin as long as we're in the human form that we perhaps struggle with, but it becomes easier and easier and easier if we don't give in to that sin in our life. What is faith? What is faith? Let me give you a good definition from Strong's Concordance. Faith is always, first, it's always a gift. You receive faith when you initially accept Christ as Lord. The verse that we used last week, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift. Strong's Concordance defined faith as God's divine persuasion. God's divine persuasion. What is persuasion? Well, if you were trying to persuade someone, you were going to try to convince them to perhaps side like you do, believe like you do. We all know Cleveland Browns is the best team, don't we? But I know, see, okay, we'll have the argument later. I have to try to convince them why the Browns are such a good team. Why? And that's what God does with us. Faith is something that works deep down within us. It's God's persuasion. It's God working in us. I want to tell you what faith is not. Faith is not based on your own confidence. Faith is not something that you can see. Faith is not perhaps a talent, a gift. It's a gift. If you think a thought that could be a God thought, if it's something above and beyond that you can't do yourself. And that's how you know it's God. A lot of times people say, how do I know if God's talking to me? Well, I've noticed that when God's speaking to me or God's wanting me to do something, it's usually something I would have never have thought of doing in my life. Like being a pastor at Ontario United Methodist Church. I had no intention of becoming a pastor. Zero. Faith can be defined as complete and absolute trust in God for every aspect of your life. Complete and absolute trust in God for every aspect of your life. A lot of times we just pray when a catastrophe takes place, or when we need something, or maybe our finances are out of whack. But if you are consistent and you even start praying about the little things in your life, you'll see your faith start to develop, start to grow. And then when you hit one of those mountains that need to be moved from your life, you'll see that God is there for you. There's a Christian contemporary song that I used to listen to. It was written by Twyla Paris. How many of you have ever heard of Twyla Paris? And the song is, "Do I Trust You, Lord?" This song was written by Twyla Paris for a friend of hers, and the friend's name was Melody Green. I don't know if many of you know Melody Green, but she continues to have a ministry today. Her husband was Keith Green, and he was also a Christian contemporary artist. And they had four children, and one day Keith Green and two of his children got in an airplane with a gentleman, and they took off, and immediately the airplane crashed on takeoff, and Keith Green was killed, and two of the children were killed. And Twyla Paris wrote that song for Melody Green out of not only her own grief, but her questions of why, God, why? You might not say that out loud, why, God, why? But I know deep within me, when I thought my dad was going to live, I was confused. And listen to what Twyla Paris writes. Sometimes the circumstances of life can be so painful, and we really don't understand why things happen as they do, especially when we trust God that they will work out. These days, I once again learn to trust Him for every step I take, to release all control to Him. Sometimes we are trusting God to work things out the way we want them. But ultimately, real trust in God is that no matter how things work out, He has His reasons that are far above our understanding. Because, Lord, what You do could not be wrong. Pray with me. Most gracious and holy God, I asked You first that if there's people here that have never committed to You, they would simply pray that prayer as Wesley did and have that assurance. And I pray for people, Lord God, whose faith is withering, that You would rejuvenate them, that You would bring their faith to life. And I pray for people who don't understand, like Twyla Paris and Melody Green when they lost Keith and the children. I asked You to be with them. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Stand with me for our closing hymn.